Tennessee. This is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Cowgirls like a certain kind of man, a cowboy with rough but gentle hands, and they like it when you're wild as the restless wind that blows. But they love it when you're smart enough to know. Cowgirls make the rules, that's the way it's always been. They throw their rope around you, lead you home and fence you in. Yeah, cowgirls make the rules, but the reason that they make them is to see if you're cowboy enough to break them. Now, cowboys like a soft and tender touch from a cowgirl. He could never love too much. When the time comes to saddle up and hit the trail, they'll let you know. And you'll come back because they let you go. Yeah, cowgirls make the rules, and that's the way it's always been. They throw their rope around you, lead you home and fence you. Cowgirls make the rules, but the reason that they make them is to see if you're cowboy enough to break them. Cowgirls make the rules, and that's the way it's always been. They'll throw their rope around you, lead you home and fence you in. Yeah, cowgirls make the rules, but the reason that they make them is to see if you're cowboy enough to break them. Just to see if you're cowboy enough.
Cowgirls make the rules. That's our friend, Mr. Terry Brown. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I didn't even screw that up this time, Bobby. Our host, our co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning from gray sky, rainy Albuquerque. Loving our first rain here.
Well, that's something you'll see more of out in Albuquerque than you did in Santa Cruz. So that's a good thing.
I don't know about that. It's been pretty dry here.
Oh gosh. Well, how have you been getting along this past week?
Oh, we've had a great week. We continue to just settle in. And as I was sharing with you before the show, I'm actually cooking.
Oh, wow. Wow. After all these years,
all I knew how to do was popcorn and soup in a can.
Well, I know that Jim will feel like he's getting spoiled now, so that's a good thing. That is very good thing. Yeah. Hey, we've got a great, great show lined up today. In the second hour of the show, we're going to be talking with Sarah Sanderson. And she is the leader of a group called Mustangs on a Mission. And these are four young women that are getting ready to ride from Mexico to Canada, over 3,000 miles. And so we're going to be talking with her about that journey and what the purpose of that is. But who is our guest for the first hour of the show today?
We'll be speaking with Jim Jones in just a few moments.
All right, so Jim's been on the show several times, and we look forward to sharing his great music and talking with him today on the Campfire Cafe. But before we do that, let's take a listen to one of his songs from his album, Heading Home. It's called Take Me Back to Texas When I Die, and it's Jim Jones along with Kristen Harris. Let's take a listen, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Jim Jones on the Campfire Cafe.
Texas gets in your blood, it's always been that way. You feel the pull no matter where you roam. Tugging at your heartstrings every single day, like some old magnet was connected to your soul. Won't you take me back to Texas when I die? Lay me down in the dirt beneath that blue Texas sky. Best to make it back, you know I'm gonna try. Just take me back to Texas when I die.
Well, old Charlie Goodnight blazed the trail across the west with his pard Mr. Lovin' by his side. But Lovin', he got bushwhacked with his final breath. Made this last request before he you take me back to Texas when I die. Lay me down in the dirt beneath that blue Texas sky. I'll do my best to make it back, you know I'm gonna try. Take me back to Texas when I die. Just take me back to Texas when I die. Lay me down in the dirt beneath that blue Texas sky. I'll do my best to make it back, you know I'm gonna try. Just take me back to Texas when I die. Yes, I'll do my best to make it back, you know.
Welcome back to Campfire Cafe on the Equestrian Legacy Radio Network, and that was Take Me Back to Texas When I Die by Jim Jones and Kristen Harris from Jim's new CD, Heading Home. When you hear the word West, what comes to mind? Do you see a landscape, prairie, woodland, canyon, a community, town, farm, ranch, or homestead, a character, lawman, outlaw, mountain man, or cowboy? If you think of the West with a vivid imagination, then you will enjoy the music and books of today's guest. Western songs and Western stories flow from the imagination of today's guest, Jim Jones. He is a Western folk artist who tells it like it was, is, and will be in the great American West. Native Texan, who now hangs his hat in New Mexico, he lives, sings, and writes about cowboys, horses, cattle rustlers, and such. And he also knows there's more to the story, how the coming of the train changed the West and how critical water is for survival. His singing, songwriting, hot guitar picking, and winning personality keeps him in demand on the Western and folk music circuit. And he's an award winner too. 2017 accolades include Western Writers of America Spur Award for Western Song of the Year, and a trio he belongs to, The Cowboy Way, was recognized with two major awards, Western Music Association Group of the Year and the prestigious Western Heritage Award for Best Traditional Western Album awarded by the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum for their debut self-titled CD, The Cowboy Way. Today we feature music from his brand new CD, Heading Home. And Jim has this to say about home. They say that home is where your heart is. Sometimes it's hard on many levels to know where that is, but we're all doing our best to head home. Once again, this accomplished storyteller takes us with him on his journey across the landscape of the West that he calls home. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe, the WMA 2014 Male Performer of the Year, and my neighbor, Jim Jones. Welcome, Jim.
Well, thanks, Bobby. That was an amazing, I almost was impressed until I thought, oh, was she talking about me? I know me.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Gary, how were your holidays?
It was great. It was great. Just kind of relaxed a little bit. So
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Got through Valentine's Day. And I hope everybody had a good Valentine's Day. How about you?
I had a great Valentine's Day. I stayed home.
Oh, gosh. Well, tell us a little bit about your songwriting as we're getting started. When did you first start writing songs? And were books first or songs first?
Songs were first by a long time. It's funny because we were, before the show, we were talking a little bit about Michael Martin Murphy. And I was in Austin in college, and Murphy and people like B.W. Stevenson and Guy Clark, Townes Van Zandt were just all over Austin. And I thought, wow, those guys are so cool. And then I started, well, I wanted to be cool too. And so words started flowing out, and nobody was going to mistake me for the next Guy Clark or Michael Martin Murphy, but you know, just a lot of years of working at it. And that's how I got started to the music scene there in Austin.
Yeah. Did you start out writing or performing?
I first started writing and then kind of got sucked into performing, and initially it terrified me, and there's a period of time where I didn't think I ever wanted to do it again, because you know that, I mean, sometimes people don't like what you're doing. that's no fun. Especially when you're just starting and you're not very good. So
gosh.
Well, you definitely are an accomplished performer now, Jim.
Thanks. Practice.
Yeah.
I had a question that came to mind this morning, and I don't know why, but I've never asked any of our guests this question before. But, do you ever pitch songs to other performers?
You know, not much, but some. I mean, most of the people that I know pretty well write their own stuff. Sometimes. You like the song you played with Kristen. I mean, you know, I hope at some point she'll record that song too. But we wrote it together. I mean, that was, I certainly wouldn't mind pitching songs to somebody, and would love to have people record some of my songs.
Yeah. Well, I just had wondered because so many of our Western artists are songwriters as well as performers. And, of course, when we have our guests in Nashville, a lot of the folks that are in Nashville are writing and pitching songs as well as recording their own stuff and other people. So that was just a question I had. But I was just curious about that. So what's your writing process like?
Well, typically, I know you guys had Doug Figs on a few weeks ago. Doug Figs is like this faucet that never turns off, and he just, you know, every time I see him, he's got three new songs. It's just really annoying. But with me, it's, you know, I can go, you know, weeks, and then all of a sudden I'll get an idea hit me, and it could be a phrase or it could be kind of an idea, and I'll sit down and jot down some stuff, and then it's almost like there's a cowboy phrase about you want to let them soak, like you know, when you got a bull that's a little rambunctious, you let him soak a little bit, tie him to a tree and let him soak. You know, sometimes you got to let the idea soak a little bit, and then and all, you know, it's like then the faucet opens. You know, Doug's is always open, but mine doesn't open except every so often. But then, you know, sit down and kind of put kind of get an idea of what the story needs to be and what I want to say, and then start filling in words and replacing the words I filled in. And it's a little painstaking to go through that part, but that's where you get the best stuff, is to make sure you get the right words.
Yeah, yeah. How has your writing books, or has your writing books affected your songwriting?
You know, I think a way, I hadn't really thought about it exactly like this till you just now when you asked this, but I think it's, I write story songs. And so I think when you write a book, I mean, you really kind of, you have to have the big picture, you know, because you have, like, with a song, you have 400, 500 words to work with. In a book, you know, in my genre, you have 85 to 90,000 words you got to fill in. So you got a story, and then you got to fill in a lot of detail. In a song, it's the same thing, except you have to fill in a lot of detail more with images because you don't have that many words.
Mm-hmm. And right.
And so, but the idea of a song has got, in my opinion, the best songs that I write and the songs I like the best are songs that tell a story. And so in the same way that a book has a, you know, kind of a plot arc and a climax and that sort of a thing, that I think a song needs a structure like that too, that tells the story. You just have to get it done with a lot. You got to say a whole lot with a few words.
Right, right, right. Right, right. Well, I was just kind of curious about that. But let's take a listen to a great song from the CD, Heading Home. And this is one that's called Colorado Calling. And anything you'd like to tell us about this song?
Well, I guess only briefly that I went up to Colorado right after I got out of college, which seemed like just the other day, but I guess it wasn't. But and I kind of thought might be fun to live up there because it was so beautiful, and then I ended up going a different direction. And in the last 4 or 5 years, though, I've been going back up there playing music quite a bit, and I've thought at times it would be nice, that might be a really nice place to live. As far as I've gotten is just to write this song, but you know, it's a start. So.
All right, well, let's take a listen to Colorado Calling. Come back and talk more with Jim Jones today on the Campfire Cafe.
I saw her timeless beauty through the prism of my youth. Lofty peaks where eagles soared, a fundamental truth. A vision of forever, voice that spoke of home, a promise of safe haven carved in wood and stone. And I heard Colorado calling, I heard Colorado calling. But the young are full of flight and fancy, always moving on. Something shiny caught my eye and I was up and gone. Years go by, the pages turn, you wander and you roam. From the past you hear a voice calling you home. And now I hear Colorado calling, I hear Colorado calling. Like some old stalwart sentinel, I hear the Rockies call. A stronghold of peace and truth, standing proud and tall. So if it's time to draw a line, it's here I'll stand or fall. 'Cause I hear Colorado calling, I hear Colorado calling. Is torn between the old west and the new. It's time to make a change, but I don't know what I should do. The world is shifting swiftly, there is no solid ground. Shadows of uncertainty, a strident siren sound, but I hear Colorado calling. I hear Colorado calling. There is no sanctuary when the wolf is at your door, when truth and love and honor don't seem to matter anymore. Age and wisdom show me all the things I can't control, but I can choose the final place to defend my heart and soul. And now I hear Colorado calling. I hear Colorado calling. Like some old stalwart sentinel, I hear the Rockies call. A stronghold of peace and truth, standing proud and tall. So if it's time to draw a line, it's here I'll stand or fall. 'Cause I hear Colorado calling. I hear Colorado calling. Yes, I hear Colorado calling.
Song Colorado Calling. It's the very first track on the brand new CD Heading Home by today's guest Jim Jones. And Jim, I want to talk a moment about this CD as an overall project. This is just a wonderful new CD. Congratulations. It's really a fabulous listen. And I know that you've titled it Heading Home. Tell us a little bit about your concept behind the CD and how you chose the tracks.
Okay, well, I'm happy to do that. I'm typically either way out in front of or so far behind that I can't even see the market trends. And apparently, CDs are dead and concept CDs are really dead. So I decided to make a concept CD. But
really, I applaud you.
Brilliant marketing on my part. But you know, it started with the song that's the title Cut, which I wrote pretty soon after my mother passed away several years ago, and it made me think about, and it's also reflected in that song too a whole lot, and that is, you know, home is where you live, but sometimes where you live it doesn't feel like home, and it's, to me, it's a really important idea to find a place that feels like home, and be with people that you care about, that care about you, and, you know, where you want to be most of the time. And, you know, I travel a lot and I love doing that, but I always want to come home and have a place to come to. And there's a lot going on in the world today that is kind of ugly. And you know, to me, home is kind of a refuge from all that. But, and so, I mean, that's kind of the idea. And there's a number of songs, you know, that I wrote, and then I stole that song from Paul Simon. And now he's retired and going out on the Homeward Bound tour, which I thought was kind of a ripoff on his part. Next time I see him, I may speak to him about that. But so that's the general idea, is just the whole, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that thinks about that, in which case this album will tank tremendously. But I don't know, it seems to me that's something that's important to a lot of people, is having a place that, you know, that feels like home.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next track that I think Gary is planning on playing is Living the Dream. And the other night that we are going to do Heading Home, it's a little later in the set list.
Yes.
Living the Dream. The other night when you were playing that at the Bluegrass Hopper here in Albuquerque, I turned to Jim at one point and I said, you know, that's our life right now. We're living the dream, and it's a you know, different life than necessarily the one that you're singing about. But the concept of it And I've listened to this CD a lot since I got it from you, but for some reason, Monday night, this just, you know, I turned to him and I said, wow, that's us right now, living the dream. Where did this song come from?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, it's funny because it came from a negative experience in which the Cowboy Way, me, Doug Figs, and Mariam, I got stiffed on the finances on a gig, and kind of too late realized that, and there wasn't much we could do, and I was really pretty miffed about it. And then we had to drive on to California to do a concert, and actually driving back from California to New Mexico, I kind of came to terms with it. There's a line in there about listening to Guy Clark, and I was listening to his last album, and I just sort of got at peace with it. I thought, you know, you're living your dream, you're doing what you want to do, but it's still a job, and there's still headaches, and there are things that, you know, and that's, I guess that's the thing is, you know, even if you're living your dream, there's going to be things that come up that are not necessarily fun because that's the way life works. Mm-hmm. And you got to focus on the fact that you're living your dream. So it's okay.
Yep. This is a great song. Gary, you want to go ahead? And this is The Dream, Jim Jones.
All right, here we go.
West of Yuma, sand dunes are shifting. I'm daydreaming, my spirit's lifting. Sometimes things aren't exactly what they seem. As I drive along, I can't help but wonder how I can spend thousands just to make hundreds. I guess you could say I was living the dream. I'm thinking about the show last night. Man, we got the music right, but when we counted the money, it sure enough came out wrong. Now I'm cruising, listening to old Guy Clark. Every time I do, man, I feel the spark. Look out, y'all, here comes the song. Well, I'm living the dream, and I can't complain. Well, I'm singing to live, and I'm living to sing. I get to play every night. That's harder than you might think. Even if I could, I would not change a thing. 'Cause I'm living the dream. I never cared very much about the money or fame. I never wanted to play those Nashville games. Just give me a listening crack, I'll be alright. Here under the radar, I feel blessed. No paparazzi, no IRS. Let me get tuned up, and I'll play all night. So if you got the gift, then go ahead and share it. When times get hard, you just grin and bear it. Here's a lesson that I learned a long time ago. You can get a day job, you can sell your guitar, but you can't quit being who you are. So you might as well follow your dreams on down that road. When you're living the dream, you can't complain. 'Cause you'll be singing to live. You'll be living to sing. You'll get to play every night. That's harder than you might think. Even if you could, you would not change a thing. You're living the dream. Now I'm living the dream. I guess I can't complain. 'Cause I'm singing to live. Lord, I'm living to sing. To play every night, that's harder than people think. Even if I could, I would not change a thing, 'cause I'm living the dream. Even if I could, I wouldn't change one single thing, but I'm living the dream. Thank you.
Jim Jones, Living the Dream, and it is from the CD, Heading Home. And Jim, I was just thinking, as you are living the dream, do you remember your first paying gig?
I do. Yes, with with mixed feelings, but I do. Yes.
Where was
there's
that?
A story there.
Well, I mentioned that I was in school in Austin, and I just fell in love with all those guys, Murphy, and all those wonderful singer-songwriters back in those days, and got a guitar. Well, I had a guitar, and I just learned to play it. And so I had some friends that owned a bar, I think on Red River, and it was called The One Night, and night was like K-N-I-G-H-T, like night. And it was the weirdest place. It had this black decor. The front door was shaped like a coffin.
Oh, wow.
And so they let me play there. And so I went in, I played, and there was a girl that was singing with me at the time from my hometown of Beaumont, Texas. And so our first gig there, we went in there, and the place was full of people drinking beer and yelling and screaming and hollering and having a big time. We're stuck over in a corner with a tiny PA system playing, and it was so depressing and discouraging. And I was playing some original songs, some of the first songs I ever wrote, which are horrible. And so when we're done, I was walking out, my tail was so far between my legs, it was coming out the other side. And this guy, as I walked by, he says, "Hey man, I liked your songs." And I was like, "Oh, cool." Songwriter, we're so pathetic, it doesn't take much at all to keep us going. One guy was listening. I was like, "Okay, I can do this." That was my first gig.
It just takes one fan, right?
It only takes one. That's pathetic, I know, but it's true.
That
wow,
is so funny.
What a story. I don't know. There's a song in there somewhere, Jim, that story.
there's a song pretty much anywhere.
Gosh. Well, do you prefer playing larger venues or the smaller venues today?
It's funny. I don't know if I had time for a long story, but I have a story that relates to this.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. So Doug Figs and I play at this guest ranch down in just over the border in Arizona, down in the Boot Hill, off the Boot Hill of New Mexico. And the people that run it are friends with this guy who is one of the brothers who was in the rock band INXS. And they got to be friends, and they wanted us to meet, so we ended up meeting this guy. This guy's played Wembley Stadium repeatedly with like 90,000 people and stuff like that. But he owns a ranch in Australia, and he works it. They've retired, and he works his ranch. And he's a regular guy and really a nice guy. So we were talking about that the last time we were down there and saw him. And I was saying, you know, I can't even imagine what that's like. I would be thinking, what am I doing here? He laughed, and he said, "That's exactly what I was thinking." But what we wound up talking about is I really, you know, aside from the financial issues of the more people that are there, the more money you make, obviously, I really prefer house concerts with anywhere from 30 to 50 people where you can see them and they can see you. And it's like playing in your living room, because in those cases, you really are playing in somebody's living room. Mm-hmm. And it just feels really intimate, and it feels, you know, you get to tell your stories, people interact with you and heckle you and stuff. At least in my case, I get heckled a lot. I don't know what it is. But. So actually, I like smaller, intimate crowds. Just for me personally, it's a lot more gratifying to do that. You need the bigger crowds to make money. Mm-hmm. And I'm not opposed to making money.
Yeah, go ahead, Bobby.
No, go ahead, Jerry. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that I know that I prefer the smaller, more intimate venues to listen to performers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I have no desire, for example, to go see a concert with Garth Brooks at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. That just doesn't do anything for me. But but I wouldn't mind going and listening to him when he's playing the Bluebird or something, you know. So the smaller venues, I think, are much more enjoyable. I just don't see going to these large stadiums and watching the performer on a screen. I can do that at home on my TV. So I just wondered how that was. Wondered how that was for you.
And I think too, as an audience member in the smaller groups, it's not only a more intimate experience with the performer, but sometimes I have found in our years of hosting the concert series, especially when it was in the store location, the original years in the store, oftentimes the performer, as they got sort of more and more comfortable with the venue and the people and being able to see everybody right, you know, right there at their feet, basically. Near the end of a concert, they would often say, you know, this has been so much fun. I have a bunch of new material that I've basically been practicing at home with my dog. You know, could I try it? You know, would you mind if I, and we'd be like, oh my God, that's why you go to see. You can listen to great music on the CD, but you go for the live experience. You don't know what that environment and that night and that moment will bring. And sometimes the most wonderful performances that I remember were often those last, you know, like 20, 25 minutes where the performer is asking that, and you really feel privileged, and there's a trust, you know, like, wow, they trust me as a listener that I'm, you know, I'm going to be willing to listen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get to some more music. And this is a song from the city. I think I'm going to go ahead and play Heading Home right now.
Okay.
This is the song that is the title cut from the CD. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Jim Jones and Bobby Bell on the Campfire Cafe.
When we were young, we played beneath that old Texas sun. We'd drift along and dream the hours away. Lancelot, Robin Hood, Lone Ranger, Gene and Roy. We'd save the world at least three times a day. And like a curtain falling, the twilight tumbled down. That Texas moon's first glimmer softly shone. Fireflies faintly flicker, you turn to me and say, don't you think it's time that we be heading home? Heading home, heading home, like sailors on the ocean. We rambled and we roamed after all the years and miles, all the tears and all the smiles. It's time that we be heading home. One day, like young eagles, it came our time to fly. We spread our wings and bravely left the nest, writing songs, writing wrongs, no giant too big to slay. We set out to conquer the west, but climbing to the mountaintop and wear the spirit down, and bend the backs of those who roll the stones. Time and trouble took their toll. You turned to me and said, don't you think it's time that we be heading home? Heading home. Heading home like sailors on the ocean. We rambled and we roamed after all the years and miles, all the tears and all the smiles. Don't you think it's time that we be heading home? Said you needed rest. You said your time.
reach for your hand, but you just shake your head. You say this time you're going on alone. You're heading home, heading home like a sailor.
Track Heading Home from the brand new much anticipated CD Heading Home. And Jim, I really enjoyed also the album, the CD packaging, and that's one reason that you do want to buy a CD and not just download the music, because you get everything. And I noticed that you play a whole lot of instruments.
Which not I don't the same think time, I though.
I don't think I knew that about you. Tell us a little bit about what you play on this CD and maybe how you came to play these instruments.
Oh, gosh. Well, I play the guitar and the mandolin with the Cowboy Way, and I play the guitar when I support myself. I've been playing the piano for years. When I was a kid, I took piano lessons. And I guess I was blessed with the gift of being able to play by ear, and was cursed by a terminal laziness. And so I didn't want to learn to read music. And my parents finally got so frustrated. In fact, it culminated in the final concert where it was a duet with my sister, who really worked hard at it. And I got so lost because I wouldn't practice and I wouldn't rehearse and I couldn't read the music. And we were playing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and I just got lost. And so she banged out the bass part of the Battle Hymn of the Republic to the end, the bitter end. It was the longest car ride I've ever had in my life, to 10 minutes from the piano teacher's home to my home. And that was my last piano lesson. But I did learn enough to keep going and listen to a lot of Floyd Kramer. And so I played the bass, and I played in an Irish band for years, and so I learned to play the Irish tin whistle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. I guess I played dobro just because it seemed like a neat thing to do. It's a lot harder than it looks, but I managed to squeeze some things out of it. And so I don't know, just
yeah, really, really fun. Really fun to realize that you play that many things. And I know that a couple of songs, let's see, you have one song that you did with Bruce Huntington, and of course the song with Kristen. We can talk about, that was Man of the Mountains. Well, we'll talk about that one later.
Okay.
So there's one song that is on the CD that we're going to do now that's a cover. How did you happen to choose Old Desperados?
Old Desperados? I co-wrote it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, so tell us about Old Desperados. I'm sorry.
Andy Renfrey is a lady. She and her husband, Ren, I met them first in Houston when they were playing as part of a trio down there. Then they live in Nashville, actually, now. And they're songwriters and a bunch of different stuff, but really neat people. And she and I had written a song, Common Ground, on my Race with the Wind CD, and really enjoyed it and wanted to write some more, and got together at the Southwest Regional Folk Alliance year before, so I guess it was 2016, and we said, we got to write a song. Well, Guy Clark had just passed away a little bit before that, and we were huge Guy Clark fans, both of us, and so we wanted to write a song about not just Guy, but all those folks And my buddy Alan Chapman was one of those folks, so he's still with us, thank goodness. But they were writing music in Nashville back in the 70s and writing the songs that Willie and Waylon were recording, and you know, included Guy Clark and Steve Earle and people like that. But they really were a bunch of old, but they're old Esperados now, the ones that are still with us, and so we wanted to write a tribute and have a kind of a cowboy theme to it, and so this is what we came up with.
Well, let's take a listen to Old Esperados and come back and talk more with Jim in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe.
Old Esperados are like coal burning trains, echoes from the past. They ain't coming back again. It's sad to know that someday soon they'll fade away, just like some old harvest moon. Old desperados, they're bulletproof. The shots, they start telling you the truth. With a worn out guitar that cuts through the lies, they lay down the lines, plain and simple, no alibis. Oh, the sorrows they shake off. Tears pour a round of whiskey and beer, and raise a glass and toast to the ones who meant the most throughout the years, and then disappeared.
Jim Jones, and it is from the album Heading Home. And Jim, you've just been a ton of fun to have on the show today with us. And I know our audience out there everywhere, by the way, since the Olympics have been going on, our audience in the Republic of Korea has greatly increased. I don't know which Olympics athletes are listening to us, but thanks for that. So we appreciate our worldwide audience out there. But that was an interesting side. But anyway, Tell us where we can find your music and make these purchases. Where can we get Heading Home?
Well, and Christmas is just around the corner, so this is a good time to be talking about it. But, you know, the best way to do it is to go to my website, which is jimjonesmusic.com. Don't just put in Jim Jones because you'll get all this stuff about either a rapper or about the guy in Guyana with the Kool-Aid, neither of which is uplifting in the least little bit. But jimjonesmusic.com, there's a shop section. Just hit on that, and it'll take you. My CDs are available at CD Baby, but there's a link on my website with a picture of the album cover and everything. Also takes you to my other albums and my books, too, all of my multiple series of books that I've got. Somehow I keep cranking out. I don't know.
All right. And you're on Facebook, aren't you? Also on Facebook, aren't you?
Yes, I have a Facebook page and a Facebook profile. Apparently those things are different. I'm so tech-savvy that I couldn't necessarily tell you the difference, but I am on Facebook. The link is on my webpage. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So find Jim on Facebook and like him and friend him and all that good stuff. But anyway, great, great CD, and we've sure enjoyed having you with us today. We're going to close out this segment of the show with a song called Man of the Mountains, and you want to tell us the story about this one?
Sure. I wrote this with my buddy Bruce Huntington in California. We've written a number of songs together, and it's always great to get his perspective. And he wanted to write a song about mountain men, and I thought about it, you know, because I think in Western music, people typically think of songs being about the cowboys. And I decided I needed to research it a little bit. There's a wonderful author, Wynn Blevins, who I've had the privilege of meeting and being on a panel with and everything with Western Writers of America. Wynn wrote a book that's a classic called Give Your Heart to the Hawks. And I read it, and it's just all about Jim Bridger and Jedediah Smith and people like that. And what I found out was there probably wouldn't even be any cowboys if it wasn't for the mountain men, because you know, people think of them being up in the mountains trapping beaver, which of course they did, but they charted the West. They explored the West, especially Jedediah
right.
Smith. I mean, that was his mission. And I thought, well, if that's not Western, I don't know what is. And so then I slipped in the whole thing. I hope I hadn't seen Wynn since I wrote the song. I'm going to tell him I stole his thing about the hawks. There's a red-tailed hawk theme that goes through this. But that's where the song came from. It's a tribute to the men that explored the West.
All right. Well, it's a great song. It's Man of the Mountains, and we've been talking with Jim Jones today on the Campfire Cafe. Jim, look forward to having you back with us again. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. You guys are just like family, sitting around and talking in the living room.
And I'm sure that knowing Bobby, you will be doing that soon. So anyway, thanks again.
You bet.
Man of the Mountains, Jim Jones.
Study the ways of the mountain men. As a red-tailed hawk circled high upon the breeze, I listened to their voices on the wind. I came to Cache Valley where the Bear River runs. There I made my first rendezvous. Saw a red-tailed hawk circling beneath that western sun. I knew I'd found my home pure and true. So when it comes my time and the good Lord calls my name, I'll tell you right where I want to be. Lay me down in the middle near the shadow of the Rockies. Let that red-tailed hawk keep watch over me. Bridger, Smith, and Beckworth, Sublet, and the rest, I swore I'd follow them to hell and back. And through trial by fire I passed every test, endured blizzards and Indian attacks. Trapped the beaver, faced starvation, heat and bitter cold. Through it all I knew that I'd been blessed, 'cause I'm a man of the mountains, my heaven's here on earth.
that opened up the west. So when it comes my time and the good Lord calls my name, I'll tell you right where I want to be. Lay me down in the middle neath the shadow of the Rockies. Let that red-tailed hawk keep watch over me.
Jim certainly was a fun guest to have on today, wasn't he?
He was, and he is so fun in concert.
I can just imagine. Jim's got such a great personality and a great sense of humor, but he was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Hey, I want to take a moment and just mention that our hearts and our prayers and our sympathy goes out to the folks in Parkland, Florida. Just horrible, the shooting there yesterday. And so it just wouldn't do for us not to mention them and to express our condolences to those folks that have been lost in that episode. So our heartfelt feelings go out to all those folks. We have got coming up in just a couple of minutes Miss Sarah Sanderson with the Mustang on a mission. And we're going to be talking with them. 3,000 miles these gals getting ready to ride. And so we're going to enjoy talking with them. But we've had so much fun with you today.
Well, it's great to be here.
It's always great to have you and catch up with what's going on in your new home, in your new home state. All the different things that you're doing as you get settled in out there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But do you have any closing thoughts for us today?
I do. I have two actually quick ones from Dale Carnegie. Today is life. The only life you are sure of. Make the most of today. Get interested in something. Shake yourself awake. Develop a hobby. Let the winds of enthusiasm sweep through you. Live today with gusto. And from Oscar Wilde, to live is the rarest thing in the world. Most people exist, and that is all.
Well, those are good thoughts and good thoughts to close with today. So we will see you on the air next time on Campfire Cafe. So we look forward to talking to you then. Thanks so much.
Happy trails.
Happy trails to you. And when we come back, it's going to be time for Saddle Up America. We'll be talking with Sarah Sanderson, Mustangs on a Mission. You're listening to the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we'll be right back with Saddle Up America.
They don't call it Death Valley for nothing. And coyotes don't make a good pet. But when you're living out here with the grizz and the deer, you pretty much take what you get. Oh, the mountains have shoulders like granite. They're big and they make their own rules. So you take what you need, but you better take heed, 'cause the mountains don't tolerate if you do, do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the wind is the moan of the prairie. It haunts and bedevils the brains. The soul-stealing kind that will fray a man's mind till only a whimper remains. You may stand on a canyon cathedral where the water and wind never rest, and know in your bones that the meek on their own will never inherit the West. Oh, the West is big and as wild and as wide as a ride on a comet that's never been tried. You may climb on her back if you do, do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, she's wild and she's wide and she's lonesome, where the dream of first blood still survives. And she beckons to those who can bid adios to the comfort of 8 to 5 lives. So come all ye brave caballeros, cinch up and reach way down inside, till you're feeling the heat, so take a deep seat, 'cause the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West is as big and as wild and as wide as a ride on a comet that's never been tried. You may climb on her back if you do, do your best, 'cause she's gonna put your true grit to the test. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. Oh, the West boy, she ain't broke to ride. She ain't broke to ride.
That's Junie Fisher and her great song, The West. And we're going to welcome to the show now Sarah Sanderson as well as Olivia Maxwell. These young ladies are part of Mustangs on a Mission, and they will be riding 3,000 miles on their American Mustangs from Mexico to Canada. So how are you ladies doing?
We're good. We're excited to be on the show with you today.
Well, we're excited to have you. And I've been real interested and real curious about this whole expedition that you're getting ready to go on. Before we talk about Mustangs on a Mission and where you're headed, why don't we talk a little bit about each of you first? And Sarah, let's talk with you first and tell us a little bit about how you got interested in horses and a little of your background.
Sure. Well, I grew up in northern Illinois on a farm, and my dad did not like horses a whole lot, so he always said that they were just hay burners and cost a lot of money. So I asked for a horse from the time I was 2 until I turned 18, and his response never changed. He said, when you grow up and move out, you can buy your own horse. So I turned 19, moved to Texas, and bought my own horse 2 months later. So I don't think that he ever thought that that was actually going to happen or that I would ever be planning this kind of a trip. But ever since I can remember, I have always wanted to work with horses. And thankfully, my sister-in-law and her family had horses, and we were best friends growing up. So I got to go over to their place and work with their horses and learn a lot from them. So I got to be around them. I just couldn't own one until I turned 19.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. Well, a lot of people find that they have to wait until they're a little bit older to get involved in horses. And so that's kind of the story. with a lot of folks, so they can relate to that. So where was home for you?
Home was Malta, Illinois, and then I moved to Stephenville, Texas for college to go to Tarleton State University when I was 19. So grew up in northern Illinois, had no idea about anything but farming, and moved to Texas, and I was introduced to a whole new world.
Well, it's a good world, too. It is a good world.
Yeah.
Olivia, what about you? Where are you from, and how did you get involved in horses?
My story is a little bit the same. I'm from Arlington, Texas, so a pretty big suburb, and I was that horse nerd in school, just wore a horse shirt, just always dreamed of having my own horse, but I couldn't have one in our little backyard. It just wouldn't fit. I moved to Tarleton State in Steamville and met Sarah and finally got to start riding. So that's where my journey kind of began with this ride.
Well, that is so cool. That is so cool. Well, Sarah, tell us a little bit about what Mustangs on a Mission is and what the purpose of that is.
Sure. So Mustangs on a Mission is the first program of Isaiah 43 Ministry. And the whole purpose of Mustangs on a Mission is to experience healing and hope from the Lord by spending time in nature with horses, meeting people, and then sharing that story with them. So Olivia and I are the two that are riding from Mexico to Canada, and we're hosting events along the way. And we want to show people how the Lord uses horses in really, really amazing ways in people's lives. And it doesn't have to be a career, and it doesn't have to be something you grew up doing, and you may never have touched a horse in your life, and you can still learn a lot from them. So that's really the purpose of Mustangs on a Mission. And it started, I was working at a church, and I loved it, but I didn't like being inside. And I had this passion for horses, and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And then I saw the movie Unbranded, and I was like, I bet I could do this. But I bet I could bring other people on, and I could give people an opportunity to experience this, too. So that's kind of how it started. And then Olivia came on shortly after the dream kind of started getting planned out. And it's been 2.5 years in the planning. And we are 10 days from leaving Texas to head out to Arizona.
Oh, wow. Wow. It's almost here. Almost here. Well, Olivia, how did she drag you into this?
Well, she just asked. And I was like, well, heck, I'm not missing out on that. Sign me up. Not that I knew how to ride a horse at all. Or really anything about them other than I loved them. So I was on board from the start.
All right. Well, you were easy. You were pretty easy to get in, talk into this.
<It's all>
Yeah. Well, Sarah, what has gone into the planning process for this? Because I know that you started out with four of you girls that were going to be doing the ride. Now you're down to the two. But what is the process? By the way, how did you decide to use Mustangs?
Well, with the Mustangs, I actually interned and worked for the Mustang Heritage Foundation for a while, and I had heard of the Mustangs before and thought that it was such a cool story. And then being such a big part of it, working with the Mustang Heritage Foundation, I really saw this incredible story of these horses who they seemed so happy and healthy out in the wild, but in reality, they don't have the food or the water they need to survive. So they get rounded up by the BLM, taken to holding pens, and then they get adopted, and they're given this like whole new purpose in life, and they're fed and they're cared for. And, you know, some of them go into dressage, some of them go into Western showing, some of them are ranch horses, some of them are just kid horses, some of them are for trail, whatever their purpose, they're given this like whole new thing. And to me, that is such a reflection of my life after I decided to follow the Lord and really pursue a relationship with God. And I just had like a 180, and what I thought was a good life, I can now see I was struggling a lot, and now I have purpose and I have safety and all of that. So I love the story of Mustangs and being able to share that with people. As far as the planning, I cannot even begin to tell you how many different ways that this ride has looked at different points. I don't think that there's anything that could have prepared me for the full scope of what we were getting into. And there's been tough times. There's been times where I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know why I'm trying to figure out these logistics. And then something happens and I'm like, this is why. Like, I'll have a great moment with my horses, or I'll get to share the story with a kid who's struggling, or somebody who, you know, has worked with horses their whole life and has never been able to view them as a reflection of relationships. And so that's really kept us going. We have a lot of different logistics that we're working on. We have to figure out food and safety for horses and then the riders. And then we have a guy who's driving a truck and trailer for support. So we're figuring out his map, like his route, where he's going to come in and meet us, the supplies he needs to bring us, all of that kind of stuff. Then we have events that we're trying to plan along the way. So then we're trying to time it where, all right, we're going to actually ride this many miles in this many days to get to this next location to do the next event. And then we're also working on filming it ourselves so that we can hopefully create a documentary out of it at the end. So trying to do all of those logistics while also riding our horses and getting them in shape and stuff has been very overwhelming, but we have an incredible team of support that is helping us day in, day out. Our parents are supportive of us. We have mentors that are helping us with horses that have done packing for years and years that are helping us with that. We have people who are great at event planning that are helping us with that side of it. So truly, it's a huge team of people that is helping us get this whole thing done.
I can only imagine if you're going to try to challenge yourselves and do this type of a ride, what all is involved in that. We're going to take a quick break. And as I was picking out songs for the show today, I thought this would be very fitting for a couple of gals that were going to be taking off and riding for 3,000 miles together. So let's take a listen to the Cowgirl Friends. It's Kristen Harris and Devin Dawson. And we'll come back and talk more about Mustangs on a Mission and what you can see and how you can get involved. We'll be right back.
I rolled into the roundup on the last train. I saved a seat for you, but you weren't there. Where were you?
Oh, yeah.
Care.
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
You went where?
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
You did what?
One cowgirl friend like you, and I don't need any more. That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Well, I was mighty tired from all that dancing.
I'll bet you were. And your trick riding saddle was a mess.
That was pretty slick.
That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Gotta yodel here, gotta yodel there.
That's what cowgirl friends are for. A little tea. One cowgirl friend like you, and I don't need any more. That's what cowgirl friends are for.
And when you accidentally went out with your skirt tucked in your drawers, it was me to let you know you were excited.
Oh, yeah, that was
time I let you use my lipstick.
Uh-huh, I had no mirror, so you helped me put it on.
Oh, well, I guess I should have told you it was purple.
Yeah, purple. I looked like liver lips till it was gone.
You looked cute, but we cowgirls gotta look out for each other.
Why you're my favorite cowgirl friend. That's what cowgirl friends are for.
Loyalty.
I gotta go. That's what cowgirl friends are for. Loyalty.
One cowgirl friend like you, and I don't need any more.
One cowgirl friend like you, and I wouldn't want one more. That's what cowgirl friends are. That's what cowgirl friends are.
Kristen Harris, Devin Dawson, Cowgirl Friends, and when these two girls are on this journey, they may try to pull a few things on each other. I don't know. But we'll find out. So we are talking with Sarah Sanderson and Olivia Maxwell, and they are Mustangs on a mission, and we talked a little bit about the Mustangs. I was just wondering, how many horses are you taking on your trip?
We will have 7 horses and 1 mule, and all of them are BLM branded except for 1 horse. My very first horse I ever bought is a domestic horse, but he's going to be making the trip with us too.
All right. All right. And what's the mule for?
He is kind of our protector, kind of our mascot, and also a pack animal. So he's got a few purposes.
All right. All right. So let's talk a little bit about, this is quite a big deal. I mean, you're riding from Mexico to Canada. You've got over 3,000 miles to travel. What type of support team do you have in place? I mean, I think you mentioned that there was going to be a trailer that will be following you on part of the journey. So talk to us a little bit about the folks that are involved on the ground.
Yes, we have so many people. Right here, we're in Georgetown, Texas right now, and we have a group of about 4 or 5 people here that are helping us every day, that we can ask questions, that are helping us take care of our horses, and that are taking us to different places and helping us get all of our horses ridden and exercise and all of that. And then at each event location, we have a phenomenal team of volunteers who are helping us promote the event, helping us find venues, get all the logistics figured out, and then who are allowing us to stay in their homes and keep our horses and all of that as we arrive. So that way we're not paying to board our horses, we're not paying for hotels for us, and most of them are feeding us and all of that. So that's a huge blessing. And then Gabe Hillison is our truck and trailer driver, and he signed up for the whole 6 months. He's going to come out. He also grew up in Illinois, and he's going to come out, drive for us. So he is going to be essential to us through Arizona and southern Utah. He'll have to meet us every night, practically every night, and bring in water and hay because there's just not enough for the horses out on the trail.
Right, right. And now there'll be times he'll just meet you at different locations. You'll actually be riding through some pretty bad lands, won't you?
Yes, we will. Everybody talks about the Cholla cactus in Arizona, which I'm not super worried about, but that is definitely a little bit of a concern. And thankfully, with the way it's set up, because we will be meeting up with them every night, we can rotate through horses. So it's kind of nice for us. We get to ease our horses into the long miles a little bit by rotating through them. And then he'll take the extra ones around to the next checkpoint. And then we'll be camping out at different trailheads or different points along the trail wherever he can get the truck and trailer into.
All right. But there'll be some times where you'll be just camping out under the stars and kind of roughing it on your own, won't you?
Yes, once we hit Utah, we will start going out for a few days without being able to meet up with him, just with the way the trails and the roads work and all of that. So at that point, it'll be Olivia, me, some horses, and a lot of stars.
Oh, gosh. Well, that will be quite an experience for you. Now, you mentioned that he signed up for the 6 months, so your journey will last for 6 months. And as you are traveling along, you'll be doing different events away. So how many of those are there, and where will they be held?
As of right now, we have 6 events. We have 2 in Arizona, in Tucson and Flagstaff. We have 1 in Utah in Mount Pleasant, 2 in Wyoming in Jackson and Cody, and then 1 in Bozeman, Montana. And our first event is April 7th, and then our last event is August 11th. So they're spread out pretty far. It's about a month apart from each event. So that'll take us all the way to southern Montana. And then after Bozeman, we're just going to be trucking it for that Canadian border. We're going to be going as fast as we can.
Oh, gosh. Well, now, what will be occurring at the events as you're traveling along the way?
We are going to have several things going on at the event. We'll be sharing our story and how our horses have impacted our lives and how God has used those horses to help us heal from different traumatic events that we've faced. The most exciting thing and what I'm really, really looking forward to at the events is a first touch demonstration with a wild Mustang. So we're working with some really great trainers from all over the country that are going to be coming out. And we'll bring in a wild horse that's never had hands on them coming out of the BLM holding facilities. And the trainer is going to work with that horse for about an hour and a half. And it's really incredible to see in an hour and a half the transformation from this horse that doesn't trust humans to that trainer building that trust with that horse. And eventually, hopefully, within that hour and a half, being able to get on and ride that horse.
Oh, wow. Wow. Well, I've been able to attend a couple of the Extreme Mustang makeovers. I think I was in Lexington, Kentucky this past year, and it's just amazing to see what happens with these wild Mustangs and what is accomplished with them in such a short period of time. But you mentioned that you're going to be sharing some of your experiences and how the Lord has touched your life. Can you share some of that with us now?
Yeah, absolutely. For me personally, I grew up in a really small town and everybody knew my family. I was the youngest of 8 cousins on one side. And so I grew up with this chip a mile wide on my shoulder of, I am Sarah and I didn't want to be anybody's little sister or cousin or granddaughter or daughter or whatever. I just wanted to be who I was. So I tended to act out a lot and get in a little bit of trouble. And I was just really bitter and angry for really no reason looking at it. I have a great family and had a great childhood and was able to do a lot of stuff, but I just had this, like, hurt and bitterness and anger in me. And I never really realized what the cause of it was, didn't know how to deal with it, so I was just kind of crazy. But then when I would go work with horses, especially doing groundwork with them was really cool to me because I would watch my sister-in-law, who was my best friend growing up, I would watch her do this groundwork and the horse would be super responsive and she'd get all this stuff going and the horse would look good and she'd be like, okay, your turn. And she would walk, literally coach me every step of the way through it and tell me how to do it, all this stuff, and I would not get a response out of the horse. They would just kind of do whatever they want. And it really forced me to be honest with my emotions, and that is another thing I think Mustangs are really good at, especially when you're first training them, is they are really good at kind of seeing through this wall that people can put up, and so they force you to be honest with your emotions because they want what's on the inside to match what's on the outside, otherwise they don't want to trust you. And so that has helped me a lot. The more I work with horses, the more I'm able to realize maybe the stress or the anxiety or the anger, the hurt, whatever it is that I'm carrying around. And then once I'm aware of it, then that's when I can be honest with God and I can say, okay, I'm struggling with this. I need to be healed from this. I can work through it. I can talk to people about it, and I can really start healing from that, where if I don't even know I have these emotions bottled up, then I'm just going to kind of be angry for a long time. So that's how horses have really made an impact on my life.
Yeah. What about you, Olivia?
Well, they've definitely affected my life. I've struggled with anxiety, and I lost my mother a couple years ago, and just from there, I just kind of strayed from God. Like, I used to give him my all, and now I'm just kind of off the pasture, off doing my own thing, and just super anxious, just looking for feed and water in a completely empty pasture. And he's over here calling my name. And so working with horses just kind of shows me how stubborn I've been, and just to come back to him. And he will give me everything that I need and more. So that anxiety definitely is released, and that, and just so much healing through working with these horses. And they literally show you what you're doing in your relationship with the Lord. So that is why I'm doing this mission.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry about the loss of your mother. I know that for me, when I have a stressful day, I can just go out, and if I don't do anything but groom a horse, it just seems to take away all of the stress. And just is just kind of healing. You can just feel the change come over you. And so that is a great thing, and a great relationship that we have with our horses as well. So where will you be ending your ride?
We will be ending the ride in Glacier National Park in Montana at the Canadian border.
All right. And when do you expect to get there?
Hopefully before October 1st. We don't have a set end date quite yet, but we are definitely hoping we don't hit snow.
Well, I hope you don't hit snow too. And this is quite a journey for you girls. What's your greatest trepidation? What concerns you the most about this trip that you're getting ready to embark on?
Well, personally for me, I don't want to lose my hat off a cliff. One of my things that I don't want to happen.
Obviously, there's like the basic concerns of safety and food and water, of just logistically figuring that out and staying safe, because you never quite know what can happen with the horses. I think my biggest concern, though, is that we don't do a good job of sharing with people just how much of an impact horses can have on people's lives. I think that this is a super powerful tool to use to find a relationship with God, to heal from traumatic events, from everything. We are living in such a hurt and broken world, and I think this is something that people can use, and it's something practical. Like, there's barns all over the place that people can take riding lessons at, or learn how to groom a horse or whatever. And so my biggest fear is that we don't do a good enough job sharing with people how they can find opportunities to experience this for themselves.
Well, I think that's one fear that you probably don't have to let concern you, because I believe that you gals will certainly accomplish your goal as far as that's concerned. I know that you have a fundraising effort that's taking place, and if people want to contribute to Mustangs on a Mission, how can they do that?
Yes, we do. So we're fundraising for the cost of the ride, the events, and then the documentary. So the more money we raise, the better the documentary at the end.
And really our goal with the documentary is to reach as many people as possible, because like I was just saying, I think this is such a powerful message, and it's something practical that people can experience wherever they're at in any level of, you know, just grooming to learning to ride to going on long distance trips. So people can go to go.rallyup.com/Mustangs on a Mission to make a donation. So that was go.rallyup.com/Mustangs on a Mission and make a donation. And there's a lot of really cool thank you gifts that they can get with it, including there is an option to join us on the trail for 3 days and 2 nights. So people can even come out and ride for a little bit with us if they want.
Well, and do you have your route planned out on your website?
Yes, there is a general overview of the route. And then for those 3-day, 2-night stays with us, two of them are in Arizona and Utah. And then there's another option to do a trip with us in Wyoming. So people can kind of have options and dates and all of that. And that's on our website, which is MustangsOnAMission.com.
MustangsOnAMission.com, so you can find out more about where they will be going and where the event locations are, as well as an opportunity. I'm sure there's a link to the fundraising site as well on your website, MustangsOnAMission.com. And this is going to be quite a journey for you girls. I'm gonna ask you now if you'll come back and tell us about your trip and how that was for you and what you learned. What do you expect to learn personally, Olivia, on this trip?
A lot. I definitely need to work on my cooking skills. Sarah's really great. I'm really excited to have her breakfast for dinner. So I would like to learn how to be better with the cast iron skillets over the campfire. But
all right.
Spiritually, I'm working towards, I guess, discipline. And that's really good when you're working with the horse, having discipline with them. And it's also really awesome with a relationship with the Lord. If you don't have discipline in reading your Bible every day, it's kind of hard to be close to him. So that's kind of what I'm hoping to learn more out there in the wilderness, being with the Lord.
Okay. And Sarah, what about you?
I am hoping to grow in my confidence and just my decision-making skills. And I know that I'm going to learn so much about how I handle situations. And really, it's a good opportunity for Olivia and I to truly see the good, the bad, and the ugly in us, because we're going to be out together for so long in not great weather, face terrible situations, hard situations, face parts of the trail that just don't exist or are really hard to get through. So it's going to force us to really find out how we handle adversity. So I'm hoping that I can learn how to handle it well and confidently, and really to lead well also.
Well, I expect that you girls are getting ready to embark on a journey that will cause a bond to exist between you that will last forever. And, or at least I hope so. I hope you're still talking to each other after this is all over with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. I think we will be. We make a pretty good team.
Oh, gosh. So I think I read the other day that, Sarah, you were worried about how many boots that you could take on the trip.
Yeah, I really like shoes, and I'm not very good at packing light sometimes. So I keep justifying more and more pairs of shoes for the ride. So Olivia kind of has to rein me in and, like, she probably is taking shoes out of my bags when I'm not looking and hiding them so I don't take them with me.
Well, when I read that on your Facebook page, I thought that is such a girl thing to say. I can't decide how many pairs of shoes to take with me. So that was kind of cute. Well, listen, you girls have been great. Yeah. 10 days from now, you'll be starting your trip and ending that by the 1st of October, hopefully before the snow catches you. And I hope you'll come back and talk to us a little bit about what you actually learned about yourselves and about maybe some folks that you meet along the way. So you have an open invitation to come back and share that with us when you finish your ride.
Awesome. We would love that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's Mustangs on a Mission. It's mustangsonamission.com. And you can also find them on Facebook, Mustangs on a Mission. And are you on any other social media?
Yes, we're also on Instagram as Mustangs on a Mission.
All right, so Mustangs on a Mission is the way to find them on Instagram and Facebook. And again, the website is mustangsonamission.com. So ladies, thank you so much for being with us today. I know this is an experience that you'll remember all of your lives, and I hope it works out well for you. Look forward to talking with you when you get back. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed it.
All right. We've enjoyed it too. Sarah Sanderson and Olivia Maxwell, Mustangs on a Mission from Canada, from Mexico to Canada, 3,000 miles. Thanks so much, girls.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a fun show today, and we hope you've enjoyed it as much as we have, talking with our good friend Jim Jones on the Campfire Cafe. And then on Saddle Up America today, we visited with Olivia Maxwell and Sarah Sanderson. This will be a trip that they'll remember forever. And so good to talk with them as well. We want to remind you that you can find us on equestrianlegacy.net. Listen to the live shows every Thursday beginning at noon Central Time for the Campfire Cafe, 1 o'clock for Saddle Up America. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net. We'll close the show today out with a song from the Hansons. It's called Lights of Old Santa Fe. Thanks for listening.
See that purple mountain and that lonely old pine tree. Well, we're headed for that mountain, 'cause that's the way back home for me. Dusk as the shadows fall, when the night begins to cover all, from the hills you'll see them shining, see the lights of old Santa Fe. Heart is pining for the lights of old Santa Fe. For maybe when the roundup's over and I'm feeling fancy free, then my heart will be a certain girl is waiting there for me. Hit the trail, time for us to start to the place where I left my heart, and I'll find myself. silver lining in the lights of old Santa Fe. There's a chance I'll be in clover if a certain girl is waiting there for me. Hit the trail, time for us to start to the place where I left my heart. And I'll find my silver lining in the lights of old sand.